Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 7. We're going to jump in here, and the Bible says in Ephesians 4, 7, "But to each of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." I'm going to start out by making a statement that people have taken the wrong way. Everything God gives us is extreme. Grace is extreme. But it's extreme to the sense that its purpose is to do what God intended it to do. Grace is not a license or entitlement to go live in sin. Grace is an empowerment to live in the righteousness that we have received from Jesus Christ. Habitual sin will destroy you. Grace came to set us free from sin. Grace came so that we would come to Christ, and the power of grace through the blood of Jesus would destroy sin in our lives. God didn't save us so we could live the old way. God saved us so we would have the empowerment of grace to walk and live in His righteousness. Grace is actually an empowerment and enabling to be what God has called us to be and do what God has called us to do. And so there's a lot of teachings, but do yourself a favor. Get a Bible with a good concordance, or get a concordance and look up grace. You'll never read, "Well, grace will lead you to sin." Nothing the Holy Spirit does is about sin. It's about righteousness and holiness. Grace actually empowers us to live above sin. It actually empowers us to face sin and not get bound back to it. Christ came to set us free. Free from what? Why would God's grace lead us to the devil? Because that's where sin came from. I love the way you're shouting. I don't care if you want to believe me or not today. I'm going to preach what God put in my heart, and you can do with it what you want. And so we come to a place where we realize that it's God's grace that brings us salvation. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Verse number 14. And the Bible says this: "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who was a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. But if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act the free gift came to all, resulting in the justification of life." So here's what happened. Adam sinned, and because of Adam's sin, everybody was condemned. Everybody born was born into condemnation except Jesus Christ. But when Christ died and rose from the dead, grace came. And through that grace, we are justified. We stand before God righteous. But what does the enemy try to do? He tries to get you to go back to condemnation. Right now, as children of God, there is no condemnation to those who are living in Christ. You walk away from God, you do your own thing, you live your own life, you walk back into the devil's trap. And so, God's grace empowers us not to go back. It doesn't condone us when we go back, it keeps us from going back. And that grace is in you. So you have the divine ability as a believer to say yes to God and no to the devil.
That's right.
It's not a religious thing. It's a spiritual one. It's not about religion. Now you can listen to whoever you want. And you can believe whatever you want. But are we willing to take the risk that I'm wrong? And somebody else telling you to go live the way you want is right? I'm not. I'm not willing to take the risk that God is misunderstood here. If you look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. It says, "Now, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Let's look at this, what he's saying. You're not being saved through some religion. You're not being saved by doing good works. You're not being saved by whatever you do or someone else does for you except Jesus Christ. And we need to take hold of that. Because there's so many things. You go to this way, you go that way, you go some other way. There's only one way. There's only one way that God's grace brings you salvation. It's through Him. And you may look at that and say, well, I'd rather try something else, or I'd rather listen to someone else, or I'd rather do this. Go ahead. Because God has never taken away your free choice. He's never come to a place where He says, you have to do that. He invites you in. He has given you the choice. And the Holy Spirit is talking to you about what you want. Do you want God, forgiveness, and peace, and joy, and righteousness? Or do you want the guilt, and condemnation, and sin that Satan brings? Whatever someone says to you that does not line up with the Bible is not truth. Okay, look at me. If it's not in the Word of God, it's not truth.
Amen.
If it's not through Jesus, it's not salvation. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Say it with me. If it's not through Christ, it is not salvation. Man's works and man's theology will never bring salvation to you. You're always going to be longing and lacking for something. That's why when you accept Christ, it's time to start focusing on Him. Forget what people have taught you that's against God's Word or different from God's Word. Embrace Jesus.
Yes.
You know, error has to have a little truth in it, otherwise it's just a lie. And so when error comes, it's going to try to entice you to believe something that's not totally the truth of the gospel, and it may sound good. But if it's not totally true, it's error, and that error can lead to a bunch of lies and condemnation. How many of you have ever tried to work your way to God? Oh, I'm good now. You know, I've changed. I quit doing this and I quit doing that and I quit doing something else. I don't read in here where quitting something is salvation. Coming to Christ is a relationship. Amen. And when you come to Christ, Christ will clean you up if you let him. It's like I ask every once in a while in the last chapter of John when they're eating fish and they get out of the boat and Peter runs through the water, who cleaned the fish that were on the fire? Because Jesus already had fish. Who cleaned them? Well, there's only one person that could have. He did. So when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, and I'm not looking at you as fish, but when the Holy Spirit catches you, sets a hook, and brings you to Jesus, it's not the church's responsibility to clean you up. It's his.
That's right.
And so he'll clean you up as much as you'll let him. And he'll give you his righteousness. And that's because of his grace. That's because there's so much value in the grace of God. And that grace becomes for because God so loved the world. It's a beautiful life. You see, what many Christians have been trying to do, they've been trying to hold on to Jesus. It's like Brian trying to hold on to me. We'll be in the Black Hills in a couple of weeks and he doesn't want to get lost, so he'll hold on to Pastor, not knowing that I'm lost all the time anyway. But what happens is as you surrender to Christ, he holds on to you. He doesn't let go. And as long as you want to hold his hand, he'll hold you. Praise God. So what about daily living? God's grace in your daily life. You see, God's grace has no limitations. So we're going to talk a little bit about facing some struggles, and I know you don't have, but I just want to prepare you to help other people. But in our daily life, we think, well, grace is great for salvation. It is. But it's also grace for your daily life. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Verse number 11. And Titus puts it pretty clean, pretty clear, I should say. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all people or men or women, whoever. Now, grace teaches us something, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous of good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. For the grace of God that brings salvation teaches us. As you walk in that grace, and as we get to know God and hear his voice, Paul said it teaches us to deny all ungodliness. To deny it. Not embrace it, not get involved in it, not compromise, but deny it. And to deny the worldly lusts. God's grace empowers you to be overcomers. As we talked last week, God always causes us to triumph. He causes us to overcome. And so God's grace empowers you to walk in authority and victory. God's grace working through the Holy Spirit inspires us to be victors every day in our life. Because God's grace can do that in you. It's a choice that we make. Look at chapter 3 of the same book. Chapter 3, verse number 3. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared toward man, not of works of righteousness, there it is again. It's nothing we've done. It's all everything that he's done. Which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Something happens daily. That is exactly why every day we need to focus on God in our lives. Don't get sidetracked. Don't start looking around for other things. God is the direction that he's called you to go. And if you're here today without Jesus Christ, and you say, well, my past is bad, I'm going to show you Paul's past in a few minutes. Grace has no limitations when it comes to sin or helping you or comforting you or strengthening you. God's grace is sufficient in everything you go through. And so at times we may feel, well, if I'm going to be accepted by the world, I need to look like them. I need to compromise with them. I need to do what they're doing. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Not the answer. In fact is, why would I want to go back to that which almost killed me? Why would I want to go back to something that destroyed my family? Why would I want to go back to something where there's no hope? And who in the world wants to spend eternity with the devil? Don't make sense. And so once God has pulled you out of that pit and set your feet on the solid rock, it's time to walk with him. Amen. It's time to be led by him. And you can make excuses and you can talk about compromise. The only reason we fail is because we choose to.
That's right.
You have God. You have his grace. You have the Holy Spirit. And we need to choose life. Remember the Old Testament? They were asked to choose life or choose death. And there's something happening in churches all over America. Many people are choosing death. That's why we need to see the Holy Spirit so active in this place that it absolutely revitalizes our lives. And it's not just a Sunday morning go to church time. There's hope and there's praise and there's love and there's grace and there's miracles. And so we come to a place where in our daily lives we need to allow His grace to minister through us and to us. As you allow that to happen, the tugs of the world get less and the tug toward heaven gets more. I'm not talking about death now. I'm talking about being more like Jesus. God's grace is so beautiful. Now, I know this part don't apply to you, but how many of you have had any problems? How many realize the Apostle Paul had problems? Turn to me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse number 7. And Paul is writing and saying, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing I pleaded." It wasn't some little thing now. Paul says, "I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Paul says, and I'm paraphrasing, that he was caught up to the third heaven. And you say, what are you talking about the third heaven? Well, there are three. There's the ones that we see here, the starry heavens. We see the second heaven where Satan has, and there's a war going on between Satan and the angels. And the third heaven is where God's throne is. Paul was caught up and saw the Lord. But when he came back, for some reason, there was given to him a messenger of Satan to buffet him lest he becomes exalted. So he says, "I pleaded with the Lord," or "I prayed to the Lord three times." And God didn't necessarily take away the thorn, but he looked to him and he says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." There are some things we go through that we need to realize God's grace will make it so we can get through it. I've been around long enough to realize, and I don't understand it, and when I get to heaven, I'm going to be so happy to be there, I won't ask God about it. I know I've said I would, but I won't. Okay. It won't matter. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That you pray about, and the answer can be, "No, I'm not going to do that," or "Wait a while." We don't like those answers, do we? But God looked at Paul and said, "No, I'm not going to do that." And I know somebody will say, "Well, but you mean prayers aren't answered?" God answered his prayer with his grace. Paul went through whatever he was facing. I have my own opinions, and that doesn't matter this morning. But God said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." I want you to know something. Whatever you're going through, and it seems like your prayer has not been answered, God's grace is sufficient enough to get you through it. And you may say, I don't like that. I didn't say, and God didn't say you had to like it. He just said it happens. I'm not talking about physical healing right now, because it's God's will that we are healed. I'm not putting everything in a basket. I'm just saying that there are times that God says, wait or no. Now, we don't like to think that God has a right to say no. Did you have any right as a parent to say no to your children? Did you ever do it? And were they very excited about it? They just loved on you and hugged you, and when they were done pouting, things went back to normal. But there are situations we go through and it just seems like there's a closed door. Don't try to kick the door open. Wait till God opens it. Because whatever it might be, God's grace is sufficient, just like with Paul, to get you through it. And we need to understand that. How many of you have had a yes to every prayer you ever prayed? How many's ever heard God say, wait a while? God doesn't flow by my timetable. It was even in the fullness of time, the Bible says, that God sent forth his Son, sent to be born of a woman, sent to pay the price for our sins. Do we keep asking? Paul did. Paul kept asking until he had an answer. The Bible says, ask, seek, and knock. God will give you an answer if we want to hear. Just keep asking. Just allow him to bring to you what he wants to do, what he will do, what he sees that you need. Have you ever stopped and thought there's a difference between what we think we need and what God sees we need? Pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. So what about the Holy Spirit in the ministry that God has called you to do? What about grace in that time when he says, I want you to do this? How many ever looked at it and said, well, I can't because? I can't because of this, I can't because of that. Usually it's I can't because I won't. Well, Paul was an interesting guy. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, he starts describing some things here. He says, I thank Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. It's kind of interesting, because if God didn't pour his grace out into sinners and begin to use them to preach the gospel, there'd be nobody preaching. I want to pop a balloon that my life was too bad, my life was too terrible, my life was too this or too that for me to preach the gospel. How many has ever thought to yourself, why would they look at me? Look what I was. It's not that way with God. How many of you have ever picked up people, taken them to the sheriff, and said, arrest this people and maybe even put them to death because they're believers? Anybody? Any of you chief of sinners? Of us? How many would talk to a person? How many of you would even witness to a person who did that? How many of you want to live next door to them and have them over for supper? And then take out your Bible and start reading to them? Anybody want to raise their hand? I want to come to your place. Paul was that person. Paul got papers from the chief priests, and that's when he fell to the ground, because he was going out to arrest more people. And the Bible doesn't tell us how many people died because of Christ and because of Paul. But it's interesting, I believe many did. But that Saul who became Paul wrote about 2/3 of the New Testament that we put our faith in. So let me ask you a question. I want hands raised now. How many of you have been washed in the blood of Jesus and you're born again? So what excuses are you using? And you say, what are you talking about? What excuses are we using that we can't promote Jesus verbally, in ministry, in anointing, in power, in love, and in grace? If God's grace, now this should be a perfect image for us. If God's grace can take Saul, who hated believers, and wanted to see them literally dead, in fact, is he held the coats of those who stoned Stephen, if God can take him and make him the man of God he became, and don't look at me and say, well, God used up all his grace on one person. He didn't. Then what is holding back God from doing the same in our lives? It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done. What matters right now, if I'm saying to God, God, I believe your grace is sufficient for whatever I'm going through, and I'm not going to look at myself anymore and say, I can't do it, because I'm looking at you and saying, because of you, I'm more than a conqueror and I'm more than able. Pretty quiet in here. Paul realized the power in Jesus Christ for salvation. But he also realized the power in Jesus Christ to share that message with other people so that they can have the same experience that he had. Because you know something? Sin is sin. We probably haven't robbed anybody or put them in prison or do something like Paul did. But we've all had our own sin that Jesus Christ's grace came and ministered to, broke the power, set us free, and now he's saying, share. You see, go back with me to Philippians. The book of Philippians. I'm going to take a different connotation on this verse than you may have thought about, but just I want you to think about it. Therefore, my beloved, in verse 12 of chapter 2, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You say, well, what are you talking about? That sounds something legal. No, I believe that God has placed within us the divine ability to do what he's called us to do. And what he wants us to do is let that come out. Fear and trembling, the word fear is just reverence God by allowing what's in you to come out. Reverence God by allowing what's in your mind and your spirit to flow out of you every day. Live in his grace. Live in his power. Live in his anointing. And just look back at Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6, and I'm about done. And Paul writes this, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Okay. Look at me. What is God doing in you? What is God doing in you? Whatever he started, he wants to complete. He wants to fulfill. He wants you to demonstrate the Spirit of God wherever you are. That doesn't mean being obnoxious. That doesn't mean grabbing somebody by the throat and choking them. It just means as you have an open door, share Christ. Share healing. We were in Brookings yesterday on the way back from getting monster number one. And I was checking out and I walk up to the counter and this lady says, I know you. And I said, really? She said, yeah. I said, have you gone to Holy Life? Because we come down here for pastor's conference. No. She says, where are you from? And I said, Sisson, oh, you're Pastor Fearing. So, God's very interesting. It just happens. Just happens. We're walking out the door, and Kevin and Cindy Suter are walking in, the associate pastors at Holy Life. And so, I take Kevin, and I said, I want you to go meet this gal. I think her name is Shauna. And so I took Kevin over there and introduced her to him to Shauna. And so there was a connection because they have a youth group of fire starters from the college during the college year. Just wanted to plug her in. And she was saying, well, I want to get where I want to be, where I should be with Christ. And that's not hard to do, I said. But it's just kind of interesting as you're walking along, checking out at a counter 100 miles from here, somebody knows you, and you get a chance just to help them get a deeper experience with Christ and come to a place. Now, what if Judy would have said, come on, hurry up, let's go, come on, hurry. Judy doesn't do that, I do. But what if I'm in such a hurry that you don't take time just to be there? Because there are times I'm checking out, I'm not there. You know, you can tear out your check now and give it to them, or take your credit card and give it to them and just be out of it. But these things have happened recently, and there are places and people happening to you. I think it was a couple weeks, or was last Sunday I got chicken? I don't remember. Went from here to Teals. Didn't know this lady behind the chicken counter. That's not the deli or whatever it is. You'll understand what I mean, don't you, Sherry? And I'm just getting my stuff, and we had a 5-minute wait for chicken, and we were going, was it last week we had Ben's party? Or no, last week we had to go to Rusty Wyman's party. And out of the blue, I don't have a clue, and I still don't really have a clue who she is. She looked at me and said, well, where's that scripture found about the rapture? I'm thinking, what? Just out of the blue, you know. I hadn't introduced myself, and she hadn't introduced herself. She was telling me there's chicken ready in 4 minutes, but where's that verse about the rapture? I'm thinking, okay. So we took her to 1 Thessalonians 4, and oh yeah, that's where it is, she said. But I mean, there's people looking for stuff. And you have the grace of God within you and the Holy Spirit working that you can share. You can share. And you know something? When you do that, and yeah, oh, it's so scary. You know, it's not. But that scariness or that feeling of fear is just what the enemy uses to shut us up.
That's right.
It's so fulfilling when you're done. It's so fulfilling when the grace of God moved through you, through the Holy Spirit, to minister to somebody. How great. Bow your heads with me for a minute. I want everyone, even now, who makes a commitment to Christ to follow it through.